people going back to work earlier this week from obviously from Monday or 1st of June. Businesses that's not in, in terms of compliance, you know, what I'm sure there's lots of businesses that try their utmost to make sure that they comply. And then there's businesses that just, what's been doing, what's happening with regards to
that? So my first point there is to say that it doesn't make business sense not to comply. If you're a business and you're reopening and you don't comply with sanitizing, cleaning surfaces, masks, rules within your business, well, the first thing that's going to happen is people that work in your business are going to get sick, and then you're not going to have a business anymore. The second thing is, if you don't do that, your customers who come to your business are going to pick up a virus at your business, and they're going to get sick as well. And that doesn't make sense, making your customers sick. So I really don't get it, because it makes good business sense to have good business practices. And right now, the new normal means you've got to have really good business practices. So that's the first point. The second point is, obviously, this does happen, and I get really concerned when it does happen. And please, when you see it happening, if you are working in a business that are not following the rules, send our Department of Economic Development a message. They will get hold of either themselves or the Department of Labor. They'll come in and have a look and deal with this issue. Or mail service at westerncape.gov.za and ask them to send it across to our department. Just Google our numbers. You'll see all of our contact numbers for the call center, because we must report this. It must be dealt with. But I mean, I don't understand it, because it makes good business sense to be a good business.
Of course. And we just got a message that just came in. Hi, when will we be able to walk 1 meter off the path and on the beach? The law is illogical, and I can't see any difference from path to sand. Now, this comes from Michelle all the way out in Welkom with Belville.
I mean, I've had so many calls, whether it's walking on the beach, I mean, and illogical, it doesn't make sense to me. So if you're down at Musenberg and you've got to walk along the little pathway, or you're at Monwabisi, or you're at Strand, or you're at wherever, you've got pathways which are quite narrow, and you've got this big wide open beach, and what we're trying to do is stop the spread. So you need to have space. So it really doesn't make any sense to me. See, the courts have even said that the logical regulations need to be re-looked at. But unfortunately, that the court didn't overturn them. So they still are in place. And of course, the minister's got to reply to that court finding within 2 weeks. But really, and that's what I've always said from the beginning, they need to be common sense laws, and their main purpose is to slow the spread of the virus. If it's not slowing the spread of the virus, it doesn't make any sense to me. And I mean, that's why they got challenged, and that's why the court found that it did. But unfortunately, I know you'd like me to give you the answer to say walk on the beach. Please don't, because you know, someone's going to arrest you, and then that's not really the right thing.
So folks are still out there wanting to send a WhatsApp message. The number is 0618621065, or you can SMS us as well. The keyword is covered 19 to 32158, followed by your question, your name, the area in which you reside. Each SMS cost 1 rand. And also, if you are on Facebook Live, and I see all the messages, send us your message, type it on your screen, and we'll definitely relate to the premiere this evening. A message we received from Facebook Live is from Shahida Paniza. She's saying that schools are issuing parents with ultimatums regarding deregistering their kids. What are the parents' rights?
So I presume this is where a parent has decided they don't want to send their child back to school. And obviously, their rights are that they can make that decision. What we really want you to do is make sure that you engage with the school and your reasoning for it. And then we will arrange that you can get your lessons for the next 3 months or whatever, if you're making that choice because your child has got a comorbidity, or maybe you're worried about risk at home, etc. So put that motivation through. If you don't come right, then also contact the department.
I see the message here from Ms. Premier Windy. You released a statement saying that non-high-risk people should stay at home if they have any COVID-19 symptoms. What is the requirement in terms of employment? As my boss would, I assume, want a sick note.
So, I mean, this, what should happen, and so let's and what you would say to anybody where you're going to work, the first thing they're going to do is they are going to, if they're a responsible business, do a screening, right? So they're going to check your temperature, as when I walked into Bush Radio.
Yeah,
my temperature checked. You know?
Yeah.
So we're doing the responsible thing. So if you are not feeling well and you get to your place of work and they took your temperature, your place of work would send you home, right? Mm-hmm. They would say, please don't bring the risk into this. And in actual fact, what you would do is you'd phone ahead to say, I'm feeling unwell and I'm going to quarantine myself or isolate myself. And then, of course, if you work somewhere and you are a person that has high risk, in other words, you've got a, you, let's say you've got two comorbidities, you're a diabetic and you've got hypertension.
Yes.
Then it's not a good idea to go to work anyway. You must try to protect yourself. And I mean, this is where it does become difficult. Because the person who is hypertensive now stays at home and obviously would want to be paid to stay at home, where the person who's not must come and actually do two people's work. This is not easy.
It's,
and I think in businesses, we've got to sit down around the table and say, let's talk about this. How are we going to deal with it? How are we going to send some work home so that that person at least is going to contribute towards the business?
Okay.
And I mean, I'm calling again in the regulations for common sense. I'm calling for common sense in where we as society operate. And we're going to have to try and work through these issues. But really what we are saying, and especially now, and we've moved to a new testing regime. I mean, these are the difficult decisions we have to make. At the moment, we don't have sufficient tests in our country.
Yeah.
And our backlog is growing. We've got 28,000 tests in backlog. And so now I have to ration the tests that we've got because it's the right thing to do. We need to make sure we're protecting the people who need to be protected, so they need to be getting tests. In our hospitals, we need to make a decision on whether you go to a COVID ward or you go to the ordinary ward.
Yeah.
You must be
if
able
you
to
have flu, for example.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And our nurses, right on the front line, we need to be able to regularly test them so that they are sure that they are clear. And so we're rationing tests there, and of course anybody that's at risk. So if you're over 55, your tests, you will get in the queue for testing. If you've got comorbidities or under 55 with comorbidities, we're asking people, if you're young and healthy and you feel like you might have some symptoms, please just isolate at home if you're not feeling too sick.
Okay. We've got a caller online. We just want to – hello, let's just
– Hello.
Hello, you can go ahead with your question for the Premier.
All right, good day. My name is Eric from Side B. Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening. You can go ahead with your question.
Yes. I just want to ask the Premier, what is like his take on schools that are not yet being cleaned up? And then also,
yeah, I'm listening. You can go ahead with your question.
Open. Meanwhile, the other schools are still not cleaned up, and then you know, the PPEs and stuff like that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I think the message came through by this gentleman that asked about the schools. What is in line? What is currently happening with in terms of cleaning schools up? I'm talking, I assume, in terms of sanitation and those type of things. And with schools that's already open and other schools that's not been receiving that type of service, what is the plans there?
Okay, so first of all, for school opening, we got a couple of weeks ago, we got a government gazette that said on the 1st of June, the schools were open. We then in the province spent around about 300 million rand. We've bought two masks for every learner and we bought two masks for every educator.
Yes.
We have bought, I can't remember the tonnage, we bought tons of sanitizer, tons of soap, etc., etc., and we've sent those out to all of the schools. Before anybody arrived at the school, it wasn't really necessary. If the school was closed for the whole lockdown, the virus would never have survived in the school over that period of time. But obviously, once people start coming into the school, then there needs to be a cleaning regime.
Yeah.
You need to make sure that you're cleaning all your surfaces. You need to make sure you're cleaning the door handles, etc. And you're setting up, there's a set of protocols from the education department, but also in your schools that you're taking leadership of the school or taking precautions. I have visited schools, and it's amazing to see. Obviously, at the moment, you can because one grade is coming back in a whole school, so you can social distance, going to get more difficult as time goes on. But we need people also to use common sense. Keep cleaning, resending the cleansing materials, and anybody who picks up a school that doesn't have it, let us know and we'll go and find out why.
Yeah.
But of the 1,500 schools, 98% open, so 30 schools haven't opened in this week for various reasons. Could be that prior to opening, maybe during the lockdown, a principal or a teacher did get the virus, or perhaps I know that one school had a water burst main, so there was no water in the school, so you can't
also open break-ins and all the other things.
Correct. That's there were 30 schools out of 1,500, and they're busy getting them ready.
Okay, a question in the WhatsApp message. Yeah, hi, Mr. Premier. I see the government just extended this lockdown with a month till the 15th of July. What happens after the 15th? Can they extend each month? We all would rather just take everything in our own hands.
Okay, so first of all, just remember what they've extended. They've extended the disaster declaration. So within the declaration, you then have regulations and lockdown levels. So they, by law, can only have a declaration of disaster that lasts for 3 months.
Yeah.
And then by law, you can only extend it month by month. So what's happened now is after the first 3 months, they've extended the declaration, which means you now have to have regulations within the disaster declaration, which could mean levels of lockdown. It could also mean other regulations, like you can't go to the beach. I shouldn't have used the negative one. I should rather use other levels of lockdown that says, well, no, I don't even want to use, you can't buy alcohol. But, you know, they set those rules within that declaration.
Yeah.
So if they allow that to lapse, then everything would fall away and it would be back to normal. So
okay,
one would hope that there's also going to be further relaxations and of course, following the court case saying that the regulations, many of those regulations are not just and have to be reviewed. So there will be a review on the regulations. And so we mustn't get too worried about that. Of course, it's a tool and a lever. And we will also be really arguing and pushing the fact that we need to keep that balance right between a health response and a humanitarian.
Which is so important. A message here from Facebook Live from Elaine Furie. A question is, there is a lot of confusion with regards to travel permits from West Coast to George, for example. SAP says yes, and our councillors are saying no. Please direct us.
Okay, so thank you very much for that question. And remember, now that we've moved from level 4 down to level 3, level 3 says that you can move within your province. So if you are going to move from the West Coast to the Garden Route, that would be fine. If you were going to move from the West Coast to Nelson Mandela Bay,
yes,
it wouldn't be fine because that's across the provincial border. But I'm also going to say, what is the reason that you are moving for? If it's to go and visit your family, I'm going to say, and especially if it's to go and visit your mom, perhaps, who's elderly and at risk, I'm going to say that's not a really good idea. But you don't need a permit within the province to move. But you must also remember, we are saying to everybody, the new normal is responsibility, responsibility, responsibility. Slow down the spread of the virus. So you can move interprovincially. You must have a good reason why you're going to. I'm not going to say that we need permits for you to do that, but please apply your mind.
Yeah, which is so important, and of course, especially if you are going to visit the elderly and they are at high risk. A message here from via WhatsApp from a gentleman, Peter from West Beach. He says, Mr. Windy, when can we go back to work in the hotel industry? What is the difference between 40 kids in a class at school and 40 patrons in a hotel restaurant? That's from Peter. And when can I buy cigarettes? Actually, just threw that in there as well. It's important.
Okay, well, I'll start with the cigarettes. Hopefully, there's a court case as well that or either those regulations are not allowed to be appealed and they have to come back with some regulation that has some common sense in it, and then that's only when you'll get your cigarettes again. But the other point around the hotel industry, and it's a very good question. And I have noticed that in other parts of the world, what they're doing is they're starting to put up Perspex screens between people sitting in a restaurant. They're starting to put up little glass booths so that, you know, you don't spread the virus from where you are. So they are becoming creative. The big problem is how quickly we can get airlines operational again, etc. And I think it's still going to be a while. So the tourism industry is the one industry which is a big part of our province, which is a concern, but it's going to be the most difficult, I think, of our sectors to get back up and running. So we need to be creative. We need to find ways in which, especially when tourism starts to open up, you know, how do you get people to come to Cape Town or to come to the Western Cape or to come to South Africa? Now, initially, it's going to take a while with international flights.
Yes.
I think we're going to have to find innovative ways that we get local tourism going, but you have to be able to sell a product that says this is safe local tourism. So I understand it's very quick to say, but you can have 50 kids in a class or 50 people in a church,
yeah.
But what about having people in my restaurant? But I also want to say that we know from the statistics and the specialists that 50 scholars, 50 learners in a class, the risk is proportionally less than if you had 50 adults in a room, because adults transfer the virus far easier than younger people. That's what the statistics are telling us. So of course, and if you've got no control of who comes and when they come, if they're just a restaurant that's open, it's going to be much harder to manage.
Yeah.
But and I don't have a further answer than that. But we need to innovate and we need to find ways in which we can advertise that we've got a safe and responsible tourism business, and then I think we can get it open again.
Coming back to business and obviously coming back to schools is for a lot of youngsters, obviously travel by transport.
Correct.
And obviously during this time, most of the kids, obviously, all kids were at home. But now just getting back into the routine of going back to school, I just received a message here from via Facebook Live from Lester Smith. He says, I transport scholars and do I need a travel permit? And how many learners can I take?
Okay, so you still keep to the rules and the regulations around percentage within your vehicle. Public transport is 70%. In actual fact, we even advise 50%.
Yeah.
And so if you were responsible and talking to your customers, say 50%, and of course it's much easier to do that in the beginning when schools are going back with small,
yeah,
with only a grade. As soon as that starts opening towards August,
you're going to be very innovative in terms of.
So, and our problem is it's going to cost too much, because if we're going to have 50%, that means you're going to put twice the number of vehicles on. So we're going to have to become much more innovative, and of course we're going to have to watch the risks. But at the moment, it should still be okay. But as we get closer to more and more grades coming back, I think it's going to be difficult, and we're going to have to work out. And I will ask Lester and say, guys, you in the business, come to us also with some good ideas of how you think it's going to work. Maybe you're going to have to do two trips instead of one. We're going to have to work.
Yeah. Let's just hear our lines, our phone lines. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a question quickly to
Alex. You may.
Hello.
Yeah, you can go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to find out, you know, the Western Cape coronavirus website has got a list of areas which is infected, you know, the Western Cape list. But that has last been updated on the 20th. When will that be updated again? Because, I mean, the page that you actually get the live feed, that is all okay. But when you go and want to download the page where you actually get area by area, so for instance, for Athlone, how many people are infected in that area, that document was last updated on the 20th. So when are we going to get that updated again?
Okay, thank you very much to our caller. He wanted to know the Western Cape government's website. He just wanted to know when is it going to be updated in terms of the areas where people are being infected, because he says the last time it was updated was on the 20th, I was seeing the 20th of May. So he says he wants to, in, for example, if he wants to download the details with regards to the areas in where people are infected, for example, Athlone, etc. He just wanted to know because he sees the live feed. So he just wants some feedback with regards to that.
Okay, so I know the main page is updated every day, mm-hmm. but I think what he's talking about is when it goes down to much more granular town and suburb level. I'll have to check to see. I mean, it should be updated every week, mm-hmm. But I do know that we've asked it to go down to even a lower level. So instead of almost to ward level, where we'll have the numbers, and I have seen it from the health department. I have seen that they're now going to say the number of total infections, the number of current infections, and the number of recovered.
Yeah.
But I'm not too sure. We'll have to check it out. It's supposed to be updated every week.
So, I mean, you can just basically just, even if tomorrow from Monday onwards, just double check to see if it's been updated.
I'll also push through tomorrow mm-hmm. to find out why it hasn't been updated.
That will be super. Now, we've had this request before a while back in one of our discussions. The question is, this is also from someone on Facebook Live. The question is, please, Premier, the beauty industry, when can we open? We are losing our business. And I mean, this is really, really serious.
So you've seen there's also some court applications as well to try to because, you know, again, it's got to be logical. So if you're allowed to, you know, certain industries can open, but other ones can't, and the logic doesn't make sense. So in the medical industry, you could go to have your eyes tested, which I have done during lockdown.
Yes.
And of course, they have strict rules, only one customer at a time, and everyone's got masks and et cetera, but they still get a machine to test your eyes.
Yes.
Why couldn't you have someone doing your hair or whatever it is? So I know that there's some court challenges. It's also part of the regulations to say, why in level 3 do we not allow it? I mean, I even see some of the cartoons going around with the people with all this long hair.
Yeah.
But it definitely is it's an issue. And I mean, I think let's wait for those court rulings mm-hmm. because it's also, I mean, people are desperate. They can't feed their children. They
yes.
can't pay their rent.
Okay, we've got another caller on the line. We'll just. Hello there.
Good day.
Hi there. Good evening. Would you like to just state your question to the Premier? We'll be listening.
Yes, this is Eric from Side B. I just want to ask the Premier, in terms of the service in regard to the school's obligations, some other schools like other areas like Anabu Park, Fishhook and other places, everything has been done. But the majority of the schools here in Site B area has not yet been, you know, fumigated and some other stuff. And then the other question is it's about the some listener mentioned something about cigarettes, and then I heard the Premier said something about that's very important. So why would that be so important in regard to the schools that needs to be fumigated? Thanks.
Okay, this gentleman is Eric. That's the gentleman's name. He's from Site B. He was just referring to the services that's being offered to the schools in terms of fumigation that he's referring to. And I'm assuming for the guys coming around just doing what they do, he's referring to, for example, to Anova Park, to Fishhook, etc. And he's from Site B. He just wanted to know when, more or less, will that be done. And he's listening to, obviously, to the other caller when they spoke about the cigarettes and all that. And his question is, why would the cigarettes issue be more important than coming around to doing this, making sure that the schools are safe in terms of fumigation?
Okay, so obviously schools are really important because it's part of the opening up. Now, as far as I know, it is not a team of people that go around from one school to another.
Yes.
Every school gets sent the allocation of sanitizer. They get sent an allocation of soap. They get sent the allocation of masks.
Yeah.
And it's up to that school and the school governing body to decide, you know, what is it that they're going to do? How are they going to do it? There will be minimum requirements, but I think also the school can think about new things, innovation, and then send it back, because what we have seen is some schools coming up with really great ideas. But I don't think there is a company that's going from school to school. We've got 1,500 schools. We would never open the schools. We'd never get there. So it is up to each school, and the stuff is sent to that school. If something's not happening at the school, then please, they must let us know so we can send someone in quickly to go and find out what's going on. Because obviously we need to minimize risk.
Which is so important. A quick message here via a WhatsApp line. A young lady, it says a young lady, domestic, wants to go home to a Nova EC. She came to Cape Town without an identity, the documents, I would assume, that's written there. The taxi service provider refuses to take her home. What must she do? Does she need to complete an affidavit at police to state that she left ID at home? You know, that is the question that she's asking.
But at the moment, even under level 3, we are not allowed to go home between provinces. Mm-hmm. They did open up that window for 7 days, remember, to say if you found yourself in another province when the lockdown happened, you could go home in those 7 days, but then they closed it again. So unfortunately, that is not permissible as we are right now on level 3. Unless it is because of work, etc. And then what's going to have to happen is, I presume someone's going to have to, you'd either have to go and get an affidavit from the police station to say that your ID book is now in the Eastern Cape.
Yeah.
And maybe even get someone in the Eastern Cape to get a copy of it or something like that and send it to you. And the reason that you have to go home is, if you have to go home just because you want to go home, well, I don't think you're going to get your permit. But if you've got to go home for work, or you've got to go home because you've got to look after your children, or whatever that reason is, then you'll be able to get a permit for that. But cross-provincial travel is still not opened up.
Mm-hmm. We've got another caller on our line. For those of you also on Facebook Live, please don't forget, send your messages. We really, really, really appreciate it. Hello, good evening.
Hi there.
Hi, sir. What is your name? Please tell us your name. It's very important.
Ashfaq Salvago.
Okay. And you can just relay your question. We'll be listening to it. Okay.
Okay. Wanted to know if anyone has considered pool testing, which is a strategy used in Germany, where you take low-risk individuals and you pool the, you only use one test for all of them.
Is that it? Is it? Hello? You still there?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so you're speaking about pool testing. Is that what you're referring to? Okay, that's pool currently testing in Germany. Okay. Thank you. We'll listen to the Premier's response. Premier.
Yeah. So thank you very much. It is something that the department is looking at now, because we have got a problem with the number of tests available, the test kits available, that we are going to start doing some pool testing. So what that means is, you find a cluster, you pull them together, you test a percentage in those number of tests. If you find that there's negative, or that they all, that what you test is negative, then you class all of them as negative. It obviously does have some risk, but it actually allows you to test and test according to a criteria that kind of gives you a result of what's going on. So because of the number of tests that are down, we are starting with trying that out in some of our hotspot areas.
Okay. So continue to send just callers. Okay, another call on the line. We'll take that call. Okay. Hello.
Hi, is this the radio program?
That is correct. Just tell us your name and your question. We'll be listening to your question.
Okay, so my name is Annalie. I just have a question.
Can you continue?
Okay, so my father's been in hospital in Cape Town, but actually from the Northern Cape. He's been discharged now, and he needs to go home. Is it allowed if it's interprovincial, like from the Western Cape to the Northern Cape? Right now, obviously with permits and stuff to take him home if he needs to go home.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll relay the question to the Premier. Premier, do you have this young lady, the question is about a person that was being in hospital. This person is obviously discharged from hospital and is on her way to supposed to go to the Northern Cape. So the question is similar to, I would assume, to the other one in terms of permit. Does this person need a permit in order to go home?
So again, then it's also a reason. Uh-huh. So you were in hospital because you had an operation or something, and then the lockdown came and you are now healthy to go home. I think that's a good enough reason to get a permit. Obviously, also depends on the mode of transport, how you're going to get home.
Yeah.
You know, is it a car? Is it a bus? Is it a, can't fly because a lot of the sort of regional airports are not open. But if you've got a good reason, then you can go down to your magistrate's court or to the police and say, this is the reason, this was, and I need a permit to travel across province.
Okay. Let's just go to our WhatsApp line here. Good evening, Wanakai, the Premier Allen, and to Premier Allen Wendy. Thanks for this important program segment. It is much appreciated. Just a question. SASSA, 350 Rand unemployment fund. I have applied, but have not response up to date. Thanks, much appreciated from Suleiman Davids. Tune in from Altice River.
Thank you, Suleiman. It is a big frustration. We have millions of people applying, and they've got to go through that SASSA office at a national level. And I think, in the beginning we saw it was hugely delayed, and the number of people that got it, I think the first round only 10 people came through, and we know millions of people applied. I'm not too sure why your specific case, but all I can suggest is that perhaps you contact SASSA again. If you don't come right, then contact our provincial line and maybe someone can help you follow up on it, because it's a big worry for me that so many people have applied because they, again, I started in the beginning saying, yeah, that missing middle, and that every little bit's going to count when you're putting food on your family's table. So I apologize. Obviously that system that's being run nationally is had taken time to get up and running, but if you don't come right, contact our call center.
Okay, continue to send us messages via the WhatsApp, from WhatsApp and obviously Facebook Live as well, which I know this week coming from all over. And then, of course, you can call us in studio as well. The number is 021-448-6266. WhatsApp, of course, is 061-862-1065. And if you'd like to SMS, the number is 32158, followed by your question, of course, your name and the area in which you reside. We have another caller on the line. Hello, good evening.
Hello, is this a voice of the pit?
No, sir. Just tell us your question. What is your name, sir?
Oh, my name is Yasin. My question is, I want to find out if the ban for the seniors will really be lifted tomorrow.
Okay. Okay. Premier? There was just a question from someone wanting to know the question in regards to the banning of the cigarettes. When it will be lifted? Will it be lifted tomorrow? That's just a question that's coming through. I never heard anything, and I'm not even a smoker.
Sorry, I don't know. I mean, obviously, it also is that national court case,
yes,
on the regulations. So that's the big test at the moment, whether some easing will be. And there's, of course, other court cases as,
yes,
well. So I'm not too sure. I know lots of people are pushing for it. I have said from the beginning it doesn't make logical sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can explain it from a health point of view. That's what the health department feel. They do the way they feel about it. But, does it slow the spread of the virus, yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
My opinion, no. So they should never have put it in place. But, we're waiting for those court rulings,
yeah,
and as many of those other crazy regulations that should not be.
Yeah. So you should just watch media and just television and see what the outcome is if you are a smoker. A question coming via our WhatsApp line, and they say, spas or shops, can they open a bit later? The whole issue with regards to spas or shops.
Yeah, and this level now, mm-hmm, are you talking about time-wise into the night?
I would assume, because it's not a full sentence, just said spas or shop can be open a bit later.
Yes.
So I assume that in terms of,
yes,
time. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So it's an all time. Okay, we've got another call. It's coming from all over. Don't be shy. Hello. Hi there.
Hi.
Yes, sir. What is your name? I'm all good, and thank you for calling. What is your name, sir? Please get us your question.
My name is Wasfi, and I applied 3 months ago for my UI placement, and because I was retained for my job, and I've still not gotten any response, and I have called in, I can't get through, so I don't know what to do from you.
Okay, thank you very much. We will address the question to the Premier. This gentleman said he's been retrenched from his job and he's applied for UIF and he's not received any response yet. And I know we've discussed this the last time as well. Give you any feedback since then?
Okay, then again, I'm really sorry because, you know, this is putting such pressure on people. But please just contact service@westerncape.gov.za and our team will get onto it and then try and link it through to the National Department to find out what's happened to you.
Okay, let's just go to the callers. There's a lot of calls coming through. That's cool. Hello. Hi there. Good evening.
Hi there. This is Radio 786, right?
No, just give us your name and then your question, sir. What is your name?
Cool, man. Yes, my name is Khalik. The question that I have, though, is when will Idris actually be able to go back to work?
Okay, we'll relate to the Okay, it's the same question that's also come through, I think, through our Facebook live earlier on in terms of hairdresser. Just wanting this gentleman wanting clarity as to when it will be opening. And if you've answered that, you can reiterate it to the young gentleman.
So at the moment, obviously, that's the regulations that are being challenged nationally and the different levels because some of them don't make sense.
Yeah.
Why this sector but not that sector? And there definitely is a lot of pressure at the moment legally to say what is the reason for not allowing it, and it is part of that national regulatory challenge that I see now is going to be they're going to appeal the outcome, but I think the sooner that it moves to a higher court, constitutional court, the better, and let's get it done and dusted.
Question coming from Peter Nicom from Facebook Live. Are you aware of the situation in the Strand? People are apparently suspected to be tested, COVID positive, but the employer refused to pay for the testing of the caretakers or assist them with isolation. What can be done?
Okay, so I mean, I don't know about that individual case, but if you go to a private sector testing facility or a private hospital, obviously the individual should pay for that, or there must be an agreement that the employer will pay. If that's not in place, I mean, then the people should have gone to the government testing facilities because you don't have to pay for that.
Okay, let's just go to our phone line. It's busy. It's buzzing, eh? Okay, it's good. It's busy. Hello there.
Sorry, man, you got cut off this wash me again. I just wanted to find, I heard on the radio they're talking about it now, but I just wanted the website again. I didn't get the website. It's web or something.
Okay, is that with regards to the website that's not been updated?
Yeah, with the connection with the UIF.
Oh, with the UIF. Okay, now, okay. No, don't worry. We'll relate to the Premier. Okay, Premier. The question is the gentleman that called earlier on, he said it was cut off with regards to the UIF. He just wanted to know the website. Is there a website that he can engage to find out
more? The easiest one to remember is service@westerncape.gov.za.
Okay.
And they will challenge you through. I've just heard here on the side that the question on the testing in the Strand could be at an old age home.
Oh, okay.
And there, please, then someone must send a message through to us. We will because we're trying to protect people that are in old age homes.
Yes.
We need to make sure that people that are tested, if they are tested positive, they go into quarantine and isolation, or that we can isolate that facility, because elderly and people with comorbidities are our focus at the moment.
Okay. Just go to the call. Just one call. Let me just go over to our WhatsApp line. Is quite filled up. I think we need another hour. Okay. Hello there. Good evening.
15 minutes.
Hi. Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. What is your name, Adia?
It's Diane speaking. Can I ask a question for the Premier?
Yes, you may. We'll be listening to you. Okay.
Okay.
Then.
My daughter is an essential worker. Which means they are at home. Her husband is at home working online with a 3-year-old, and he needs to go back to work in the next week. week or two. What is the possibility of them opening the creche for essential workers? Because I feel that would be a good test for the creches to just start with the minimum amount of kids to get their things in order.
Okay, Premier, that was a question from the lady with regards to, in terms of essential workers for the creche to open
and
the
matter.
Yeah.
That is another one of those conundrums, mm-hmm. because we said when schools open, why didn't we open creches at the same time? And, of course, why don't we align it to level three? Because level three is about opening up the economy. If someone can't get or has to stay home or can't get to work because they've got to look after their young one,
yeah,
it doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, just sanitizing it.
And unfortunately, I hate giving the same answer over and over again, but it is sitting in those regulations that are being challenged. We really need to get our hairdressers and our ECDs operational in a new safe way that they don't allow the virus to spread. It makes good business sense, but we need to do it because so many people are put under pressure because they can't.
I'm just going to take this call before we go over to the WhatsApp line because we really want to try and answer everyone on the WhatsApp line as well. And Facebook Live, please send your messages as well. Hello, good evening.
Hi, good evening.
Hello there. What is your name, ma'am?
Hi, my name's Sadia. I have a question for Mr. Wendy.
Okay, we will be listening. Okay.
Okay, Mr. Wendy, I am an employer. I applied for the UIF TERS fund on the 16th of April. To date, not a single person has received a single cent. And this was done via the bargaining council, which at the time was the suggested way of doing it, because we belong to the bargaining council. Now I'm trying to get information as to why nothing has been paid out. I get sent from pillar to post. No one is able to give me a definitive answer. And at the back end of this, my staff are sitting without any money. Is there any way that we can sort this out?
So again, it is the UIF payment. I think I've said up until now, use service at westerncape.gov.za because we really need to help you there. I'm also going to give you another two, so those people that have asked before. So remember, service@westerncape.gov.za is an email, or you could mail supportbusiness@westgrow.co.za. So these are the platforms that we've set up in the province to try to help people get this pushed through. They obviously link through to the national department, find out what's happened, why is there a delay, have you lost the documents, etc. Because now it's a long time. I heard she said it was in April.
Yes, that's correct.
I mean, we're in June now, so it really is.
The 16th of April, to be exact. And yeah. So, as an employer, it's very important that you just follow up. And we wish you all success. A question here from, it's a message and a question at the same time from Brian, all the way out in Somerset West. Thank you for this excellent service. When will the Newland spring water filling facility open, please?
Wow, there's always got to be a question that I don't know the answer to. But I would presume you could go there right now.
Hopefully masked, sanitized.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, I say that without really knowing the real answer. I'm not sure if it was closed during the other levels. So, my gut feel says you should be able to go and get water already. I'm pretty certain that, the other springs weren't closed.
Yes.
I know I've seen pictures still of people collecting water out in St. James and places like that. So, but I really must apologize. I don't really know the answer. I think we're going to have to put it onto our frequently asked questions on our website. We'll check and see why it is closed, if it is, and when it will be open.
Okay. Another question from a WhatsApp line. It's good evening. I am Calvin Jobert. I would like to ask the Premier why the Department of Labor's office in Atlantis is still not in operation. There are people at the offices, but they are simply refusing to help our people, and their phones are not being picked up or even answered at the same time. So that is a bone of contention.
Okay, so again, please use that same website to lodge your complaint. I'm just going to say that perhaps what you should also do, if you can't get through, you can actually go through to our call center, 0860-142-142.
Okay.
But let's get hold of our economics department. They're trying to work quite closely with the Department of Labor to deal with specifically businesses and opening and making sure that there's management control, etc. But they also should be open to the public at the moment.
John Clenance sending a message here. Can a small business still apply for relief? I've applied more than a month ago through all the channels available, and I'm not BBBEE. Haven't received any feedback. I've lost half my clients. That's from John.
So I know there's 14 different funds that you can claim from. So I'm not sure which ones you've claimed or tried to claim. There are different rules and regulations for those different ones.
Yes.
But I think also try that Westgrow support business at westgrow.co.za. And let's see, there are 14 different areas to claim from, and hopefully we find one that matches.
Okay. Charmaine Heffer, all the way from, she's on Facebook. She doesn't say where she's from, but she's on Facebook Live. Hi there. Premier, can you tell us when the visa offices, the visas offices will be open? I need to apply for a visa to work overseas. I have a job there. So,
okay, so I'm going to also again then say, please come through. I have in the Premier's department got an international relations office. It depends on what kind of job it is, and there are certain airlines that are opening up. Mm-hmm. So, it depends on which visa you need from which country. They will all have different rules and regulations. But I think send it through to our team at service@westerncape.gov.za and say, please, you need to speak to international relations.
Yeah.
And then we'll find out from which embassy, and maybe we can even facilitate that in the meantime.
Okay. Continue to send your messages via Facebook Live. We'd really appreciate it. Although we can't answer everything in this time, but send your messages in the meantime. Time is unlimited. Okay. The question that's come through is from Marius Foss. Please, can we have clarity on our neighborhood watches? This is critical to our safety.
Thank you very much. Excellent question. And under this level, we've just been given the go-ahead that neighborhood watches can start to operate again. So, it was one of those things that I never also understood, because they could have played an amazing role in helping people with social distancing in public spaces, etc. But they are definitely able to operate again. But please remember that when you've got people getting together and patrolling the streets, etc., remember that we need to do it safely, and it's the new normal. So it's masks and sanitizer. We've got to make sure that that the neighborhood watch doesn't become the space that spreads the virus. But I'm glad that neighborhood watch is an amazing number of people that give their time to make sure that we're safe.
Okay, we got another call. It's just find it. Hello there. Good evening.
Good evening to you. Marcy, speak to Ellen Windy.
Yes, you may please state your name as well. We'll be listening. Okay.
Thank you. It's Nabuwea Kindi.
Hi, Nabuwea.
Hi, am I speaking to Ellen Windy right now?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead with your question.
My question is relating to my children who are stuck with 400 teachers and maybe 100 professionals in Saudi Arabia. I'd like to know if he is aware of this.
Okay, we'll lay the question. This young lady indicated that she has about 400. Is it 400? Is she still on live? Okay, 400 children stuck out in Saudi Arabia. That's the issue. You are aware of that?
Oh, wow. No, I'm not. I do know that I have seen some emails of people that were trying to get back from Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
But I didn't know about the 400 children. Again, please, we do have a repatriation team that work on foreigners leaving that were locked down here to get home.
Yes.
And of course, they also work through our National Department of International Relations to get flights to come back into South Africa. And so there again, please, I would say also service at westerncape.gov.za or even mail my office at premier.windy@westerncape.gov.za and say we have got 400 young people who need to get back to South Africa. Our international relations guys can take it from there.
Okay. Okay. We just got a few minutes, but continue to send your messages. It's so important to send your messages. It's important because I can see the premier just want to answer everything. You're in that mood tonight, eh? You just want to answer everything. That's good. And even on Facebook Live, you guys are smiling and doing your thing. Okay. Question from Kevin Poulter all the way out in Pringle Bay.
Wow.
Movement of children still needs permit from magistrate court to move between districts to see co-parents, but children can move between districts for church and school without permit. Minister Zulu announced change last month, then gazetted something different. How can this be addressed for parents?
Okay, I'm sure it's the same Kevin that sent a couple of emails backwards and forwards to my email address as well as our legal people. I mean, obviously, we'd have to go and check again legally, but it's one of those things that don't make sense to me, where you could drive your child from Pringle Bay to wherever, Strands, let's say, to go to school, but you couldn't drive your child to go and visit their mother or their father.
Yeah.
Those things don't really make sense to me, and I think it's also part of some of these crazy regulations. But I, you know, obviously would have to get our legal people to do it again, and he's more than welcome to send us an email again, and we'll have a look at how we can push for some of those changes.
Okay. A question here from someone on Facebook Live. We have to point to you so we know that you're watching and we're watching. If you just show us, if you know, Stephen Yule. He said, "Do you, as an opposition party, have any say in lockdown decisions, or other parties you consult with other parties, or in case you consult in case of the extension of the lockdown?"
Okay, so when you talk about party, obviously I come from a political party, but I'm the premier of a government that's for all the people. So in our province, I get the opportunity as premier to engage with the president at the PCC. It's the president's coordinating council.
Yes.
So I, along with all the other premiers from the province, meet with the president and the ministers, and we have our input into what we think the level of lockdown should be, et cetera, et cetera. But then the president also engages directly with political parties as well, which he does. And then perhaps in the province, I do the same thing. We try to engage with other political parties in the province to try and find ways in which, you know, we can together slow the spread. That's really important. So, yes, there definitely is engagement, both politically as well as government to government, provincial government to national government.
Okay. Got another call here. Let's just listen. Hello. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello, sir.
Hi. Is that the radio station?
That is correct. What is your name, sir?
My name is Steve.
Hello, Steve. Would you like to address your question? We'll be listening.
Yeah, sure. I have my own small business, and one of my colleagues, his wife was tested last week, and she came back positive. Now, I've been around him, so where do I stand? Where do I stand with my business? Do all my employees have to go into lockdown now for 2 weeks? Or... Hello?
Yes, we still hear, sir.
You hear me?
Yes.
So that's my question. I'm a bit skeptical. I've been on the websites, and some say this and some say that. I need to know where we stand. I found out yesterday, and at the moment I've shut my business, but it's a tough call.
Okay, thank you. We'll address it to the Premier now. Yes, answer. Premier.
I think he said he's come into contact with someone who...
Yes, it's a colleague of him. It's with his work with his business. It is this person's wife that contracted, was tested positive. So he wanted to know what's the way forward, because must he close his business now for 2 weeks? He wants to know what is the way forward for him.
I mean, in actual fact, what he should do is, well, let me first say he should have a screening. So the screening will say what kind of contact, how long was the contact, what distance were you from each other, did you have masks on, etc., etc. And that screening will tell you whether you are at risk or not. If you're in doubt, for me, you rather isolate yourself, quarantine yourself for the 14 days because you don't want, it makes good business sense to do that. I know that it's going to be very difficult. You're going to have to run your business from, you know, a quarantine space, and hopefully you can, because some businesses can't if you are the business and you've got to do the service or the product. So, yeah, that's the difficult part, but you have to make that decision. I personally, as the Premier, had to make it twice. So in the last 60, 70 days, I've had two sessions of isolation where I had to remove myself from any public space and had to run the province through a laptop and a camera and a phone. And I know some of these things are difficult. They're not easy to do, but it's about doing the right thing, and it doesn't make good sense for your business to infect everyone in your business. So unfortunately, if you have come into contact, that's probably the best.
And you must go for the screening, as you mentioned earlier on. Okay, we've got another caller on the line. Hello, good evening.
Hi, good evening. Hi. I'd like to pose a question to Alan Windy.
You may, we'll be listening.
Okay, my daughter and a family, they reside in Dubai. They teach us there, and they were due to come back in July for the long holiday. But they were informed by Emirates today that they cannot come for the holiday, and their passport is going to expire in January next year. So what can we do about that?
Okay, the Premier will answer that question.
I didn't get it.
She's indicated that she's got someone that's in Dubai. It's a daughter or family member, and they are supposed to come back home and there. And they were told by Emirates that they cannot come home. If they fight, obviously they can't come home, and their passports expire in January. So what are they to do?
Okay, so, I mean, definitely we will be opening up, and you can already see that certain airlines are starting to fly again. So I would imagine within the next couple of weeks that will open up, and you will be able to come home. And if it gets to the stage where your passport is going to expire, then you need to go to your local embassy in Dubai and say, my passport is expiring, and they will give you an update or a temporary in order to come home. But I presume in the next couple of weeks you will be able to fly.
Premier, we are done. It's already past our time. Unfortunately, we've got all the questions is coming from all over the Facebook. Our Facebook, obviously, WhatsApp line is going crazy. So, obviously, I know there's people that still want to ask questions, and they have a lot that they want to say.
Am I allowed to make some closing remarks?
You may.
Okay, thank you. So Mickey asked a really important question, so I have to squeeze it in.
Yeah.
How has the unbanning of alcohol impacted on the healthcare service? And we will only really have a number on Monday, but it is already having an impact. It sounds to me like 20 cases a day on average that are moving into our trauma centers. So in other words, someone who's had too much alcohol and hurt someone or crashed their car or whatever, and that is really not on. It is not cool at all, because you are now, because of your irresponsible behavior with alcohol, you are now putting someone else at risk who needs that bed or that ICU facility. So really, we need people to be super responsible around alcohol. We've also seen the huge queues, and that bothers me, because we need to understand social distancing. So really, I'm asking for responsibility here. And I've also had a note that our website has been updated with the granular or little more granular detail.
Wonderful. So, that's big day service for you. Thank you very much, Premier, for coming in. I really appreciate it, and what you gentlemen are doing. Safe, everyone, goodbye on our WhatsApp line, and then of course on Facebook Live. Thank you so much for participating. Continue to send your questions, will be great, and the team
here
will
to Bush Radio.
Have a super evening, and don't forget to sanitize, mask up, and just be safe out there. Thank you very much, and good night.